Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good song service. I love that. Glory to God, He set me free. Don't y'all like that song? I think about that a lot. Good to see everybody come out this way. And I'm going to tell you, I've in the summertime, I don't know, through life, I've always been suspicious of this in some ways. Am I on, Jake? Can y'all hear me? Amen. All right. Everybody's excited this morning, having a good time, aren't you? But in the summertime, I've always been suspicious of this, and I don't know that it's absolute truth, but I've always thought that in the summertime that there was a list that went around through the church members that says that if this family, and this family are here, that family can't come. Have y'all ever thought about that? You know, it seemed like we get this group back and another group's gone. Have y'all ever saw that? That's the way summertime works. And I've always been suspicious of that as a pastor, that they've got one of these lists that circulate. If I ever find that list, this house will be full. Because I'll tear that jewel up, you know it. If y'all are keeping a secret from me, you best keep it secret. Now, this list goes around, and I've always been suspicious of that. You know, this family, they're back, but no, these families can't come that day. So we'll fill a house up one of these days if I find that list. Want to look at the Word of God this morning. Good to see everybody come this way. I've come determined this morning to share God's Word with you. That's my responsibility. A lot of people like to put a lot of things on the pastor, and I'm going to tell you, I do a lot of things. But my first responsibility is to share the Word of God with you in truth. Amen. And it says in spirit and in truth. Amen. So I've prayed, God, fill me with the Spirit. Let me loose this morning. Let's share God's Word and adhere to it. Starting in Proverbs, you want to turn there with me? I told Brother Jim, I said, I heard about a revival meeting they had, and they never opened the Bible. I said, well, praise God, we're going to open ours this morning. I'm going to try to get you to anyway, you know. We're going to open our Bible that we know what the Word of God says, and we adhere to it just faithfully. And so Proverbs chapter 14, y'all look there with me. Proverbs chapter 14, I'm going to start in verse 11. And I want to give a promise to the church. I want to give God's Word that He promises that we're going to have strength and we're going to have the ability to go on, that we're going to flourish. And then it gives us an indication of how we're going to do that. And so Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 11, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Amen. Isn't that wonderful news that we've got a power backed by God that says that we're going to flourish, that if we are upright in our hearts and in our minds, that we're going to flourish. And in verse 12, it said, there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, I want to close with these two, or start with these two verses, and tell you that I believe we're in this situation today that we can flourish, even though there's a deception and a lie going all around us. I believe that this way which seemeth right unto man, that's the way a lot of people are turning, that's the way a lot of people are going. You know, I knew some years back that if I would maybe water down or weaken down the Word of God or just preach it in parts, that we probably could have a great big congregation here. Seems like that's what people are wanting this day and time, that where God's Word is not preached, where God's Word is not adhered to, that you can just do anything you want to do. Brother Don said this morning, you know, the Word is that if it feels good, do it. That's contrary to the Word of God. Now you think about the way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so we have a warning of God that we're to hear and think and follow His ways and not man's way. I don't ask you to follow me. I don't ask you to adhere and believe my words or my thoughts, but I ask you to believe the Word of God. Now let's go over, if you would, to St. Luke chapter 10. I've got several things I want to bring out this morning. Y'all wasn't in a hurry when you came, were you? This will be short and sweet. It don't matter how long it takes. In St. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. Now, open God's Word. Adhere. Listen to what it said. It's a living Word. It can reveal things to you. St. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man. By the way, And I get thinking about, you know, these other 70 that were appointed by the Lord. I believe God's still appointing people today. I believe he's still sending people out. And I got thinking about the Lord appointing these 70, sent them out two and sent them into every city and every place where he himself would come. And so in preparation of the Lord Jesus coming. And that just dawned on me last night as I studied and prayed about this scripture, that we're to go before Jesus comes, that we're to carry the word of God, that Jesus might appear and come also. He said he sent them everywhere where he would come himself. He wanted them to have knowledge that there's a Savior in the world and be prepared when Jesus comes, they could accept him. And he began telling them about the harvest, truly plenteous. I see more and more need every day for the word of God to be preached and taught in our churches, that the harvest is truly great. There's more people today in this day and time than there was in that day and time. So the harvest has increased. And he got to praying that the Lord would send laborers into the harvest. Now, when we start talking about laborers, I want to talk about people that's willing to share the word of God and do the work of God in their life, whether it be teaching or preaching or testifying or just living a life in a way that you influence someone else. God's got a need for laborers in the harvest today more than ever before. There's a great deception. There's a great lie going about. It's invading our churches. It's come to Lookout Mountain. Amen. It's not just here, there, or yonder, but it's everywhere you want to go. And when he got talking about him, he said, go your way before, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And he gave them the indication that it wasn't going to be an easy thing, but it was going to be a task before them. They were going forth as lambs before wolves. And so Jesus was going to prepare them. Now, listen, it said, carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man, by the way. God didn't want them to go on their own ability. He didn't want them to have a little purse and feel secure and good in that. He didn't want them to have their scrip but that they could buy or pay their way. He wanted them to go in the power of God. He wants laborers out in the power and the spirit of the Holy Ghost of God doing his work. That's what God calls for. That's what God asks of our churches today, that we be a witness and give testimony to the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ. I thought about these 70. They were really excited, no doubt. The Lord appointed me one day. He called me, same as called one of these 70 that day. Y'all may not understand that, but I was called to preach the Word of God. Not to be your friend or your buddy, but called to preach the Word of God and then let it go as it will. And I got thinking about these 70. Must have been real excited, but when he finished the statement, I wonder how they felt. He said, this is not going to be easy. This is going to be a task. This is going to be a chore. This is going to be hard. There's going to be fear in it. There's going to be times that we don't succeed in. And he was warning them all these things because they were up against an opposition in that day and time, the same as we're up against opposition in this day and time. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 just for a few minutes. Turn over there with me, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I can see some of the things we're up against today. God warns us of these things that we're up against today. My hope and desire is that at the coming of the Lord Jesus, we might present this church blameless and spotless. Now, I've got a desire for that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by the Spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And I get thinking so oftentimes about this falling away. You know, in younger days, I used to think, well, does that mean you're going to ride by the church on Sunday and not going to be anybody there? That that could represent the falling away. And I see that in this day and time. That could be part one of a two-part series, I guess, that there's not as many people see the need to attend the church of God and go down and worship and praise Him together, come together as brothers and sisters in Christ for strength and encouragement. Now, that could be the first part of the falling away. But then God has revealed to me in later days, in later times, that also it's going to be a falling away from the Word of God, that they're not going to adhere. They're going to water it down. They're going to milk it down. They're going to use just parts they want to justify their thoughts and their plans for the church. Now, when you come to that part, you could go back over there where I read to you out of Proverbs and say, they've got problems coming. You know, if we're following man's tradition and we're following man's idea, we've got trouble in the church. If we follow anything less than the Word and the power of God, we're not going to make it. He's telling them, so they're going to come a falling away. That's here. We're in it. The man of sin hadn't been revealed yet, but we're in the first part of it. It's one of a two-part series going on. And I get thinking about this falling away and how people this day, that they're going to do what man says instead of what God says. Now, I'm not going to have part in that. I just want to make it plain. I'm going to adhere and believe the Word of God. It said in verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things. They had been pre-warned that this was going to happen. Now, I thought about the service today, and I thought about the sermon that I brought to preach. I want to warn you. I want to warn everybody sitting under the sound of my voice today that hard times are coming. There's a resistance. There's a war going on outside this church, in this community, in this world today, that we're going to have to stand for the truth and that only. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they have received not the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, here's where we are in the battle today, that we're to carry the truth of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're to carry the truth of the Word of God, and we're going to be battling against this strong delusion that's sent in, that people are believing a lie more and more every day. And so the battle starts. Now, I'm going to give you good news. I went ahead and read over here in the back of the book, and I'm like Brother Don, praise God we win, but it's not going to be without a battle. It's not going to be without a fight. That there's going to be trying times in our lives if we stand firm on the Word of God as sons and daughters of God. We're going to be rejected in many places in many ways. I'd rather be rejected of people and received by God, hadn't y'all? So you see where we're at. It said there's going to send a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And so it's easy for people this day and time to believe the lie. So the battle starts between truth and lie. That's the battle that we're in today, about truth and lie. And so there's many lies going on. There's many deceptions going on. There's many people being deceived. So we're going to have to pick up our efforts and our work that they might believe the truth. So many things that come in mind as I stand and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and how many things that go on that tear that down. There's attack on the family. There's attack on the church. There'll be attacks on you as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now in St. Luke chapter 14, Y'all turn with me. We need to practice turning these Bibles. We don't not only need to practice turning them, we need to practice obeying what it says. Amen. Not only hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. In St. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, a statement made. Then said he unto him, this is Jesus, a certain man but made a great supper and bade many. And so we see the call that goes out in this day and time also. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they were all with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have brought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so we start seeing the reasoning in these people's mind. Now, there was a way which seemeth right unto man. This man that said, I've bought some property, in his mind that was the right thing to do to avoid and not come to the supper that was made by the Lord. And this man that bought the oxen, in his mind, it seemeth right unto him to go prove these oxen instead of going to the supper that the Lord had provided. Now, you see what I'm at? In a man's eyes, it seems right. But in the way of God, it leadeth to death. And so we need to keep these things in mind and understand that God has a way for us, and our way is wrong and his way is right. And every time I read through that about the excuses, I hear excuses all the time. One of the best examples I ever saw of that, had a friend years back, Leonard Gilbert, and he was picking up some carpet for us over in Dalton. And he had made one trip that day, and we needed him to go back. You know, he didn't get it all done, so I spoke to him. I said, Leonard, we need you to go back over to Dalton and make another pickup today. And he said, well, I can't. I've got a hole in my sock. I said, Leonard, we need you to go back over and make one more pickup. He said, I've got a hole in my sock. And I said, Leonard, what's that got to do with anything? He said, one excuse is as good as another one. Amen. I'm in agreement with Leonard Gilbert. One excuse is as good as another. Whether it's a ball game or whether it's this or whether it's that, whatever it might be, one excuse is as good as the other one. If you don't want to come, rip a hole in your sock. That'll get you by. Now that's where we're at. But I want to tell you, that excuse don't come with God. Let's look over in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 22. Y'all turn over with me. Let's look at this real quick. In Romans chapter 1, verse 14 through 22. Now, I'm here preaching God's word to you today that you might believe, that you might heed, that you might obey God's word. That's where it's going to stand. You want us to be successful in church? Heed to the word of God. Adhere to it. Stick it in hide it in your pockets. Put it in your pocket, but carry it with you wherever you go and say, this is the word of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I can't hardly read that this morning without bringing tears to my eyes from feeling the burden and the debt that I owe you, each as individuals, and that I owe you as this church, New Salem Baptist Church. Paul said he was debtor. I owe you. Each one of you, I owe each and every one of you. I can feel this burden that Paul felt about the debt to preach the gospel to the wise and the unwise, to all of them. And I thought about, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And this gospel was the truth. That's what we have to base our whole basis on and our whole foundation on, is the truth, the word of God, not on hearsay, not on man's idea, not on what people want to do, but on the Word of God. And I feel that burden, I guess, today as much as I have in years. And I thank God for the burden, that I'm burdened. And I owe you the truth. The truth. And that's the Word of God. That we be prepared. That we be ready. That we're not taking it unawares, because we're going to know. It said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." And it didn't leave anybody out, the Jew and the Greek. That covered everybody. And he said, he's not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I've thought in times past, you know, I've had some situations that's put before me, and maybe I didn't speak out the way I should have. And God forgive me, maybe I was a little bit of ashamed of the gospel, but I've come to a point in life that I don't worry about anybody or nothing anymore. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the gospel of God, which is the truth, which he gives to us. Brother Don put it in a good way. He said, when he says, "Thou shalt not," he means don't hurt yourself. And if he says, "Thou shalt," help yourself, indulge. And that's where we're at today in time, that I feel that burden. Verse 17, "For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. This revelation that comes through the Holy Spirit. I don't have to speak it. God could reveal it to them through the Holy Spirit of God. He can show them from faith to faith. It said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them." God has shown it unto them. You can see it without me. You can hear it without me. You think, well, why we got him? Good answer. To help lead you to the Holy Spirit and leadership. It said, "For the invisible things from him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." There is no excuse of ignorance, because God has revealed it. You may have never heard it preached. You may have never heard it spoken. But God has revealed it even from his creation. He's saying that you can't look out across this countryside or this beautiful place on this beautiful mountain without seeing God. I don't believe you can. These people that says they don't believe there is a God, I don't know how they think all this got here and the beauty that it has. God has revealed it. God has shown it. That you have no excuse. Now all these excuses may seem right in the thought of man, but the end ways thereof leadeth to death. We're about life. We're about eternal life through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thought yesterday I was doing a funeral to a man that nobody knew if he was a believer or not. I didn't know either, but I thought how much God loved the world, that whether he believed or not, God gave his son on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood to cover his sins that he might have eternal life. And I closed the service out yesterday, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And my thought in that was to let everybody at that funeral home know that he was one belief away from eternal life. That's how close you are today, one belief away from eternal life. That if you're not saved by the grace of God, that's where you start. Now, you might be sitting, "Well, I'm going to get in that church. I'm going to be part of it." But you start by that eternal life, becoming a son or a daughter of God. You're one belief away. And I can't judge your mind. I can't judge your heart. But I can tell you, according to God's word, one belief away. You're that close to salvation for an eternity. And then people won't accept it. But let me tell you, there'll be no excuse. There'll be no excuse when you burn in hell for an eternity. God says there's no excuse. You'll know your way was wrong. Everybody stand to your feet. Julia, could you come do a song for us. Kristen, I don't see y'all back there. Y'all come up. I saw you coming. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One belief away. One belief away. Maybe that's what you need today, that you believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you have this promise of eternal life. Maybe it's your turn today to come down and say, God, just reinforce my beliefs in you and your word. You know, we need reinforcement a lot of times. You know, that God backs that up. If we pray and ask, God will help us with that. Maybe you've had a little problem believing something maybe that this church stands for. I went through the Articles of Faith again the other day, and I believe every one of them. Believe every one of them. I don't believe there's a mistake made. I don't believe it's man's thoughts or man's ideas, but God's thoughts and ideas. That's what I believe, and that's why I believe that. So if you need reinforcement in your belief and your strength and your faith, come and ask God. He'll help you. Maybe you need to join the church. That'd be your option today, that you could unite with the New Salem Baptist Church. We receive members by letter, forthcoming letter, baptism in certain circumstances, but statement. Let God lead that, not man. Let God lead it. That's what we ask for. He can answer any problem that you have. Sing a verse for song. What page was it, Kristen? We didn't get it. What is the song? Okay. 141, the church hymnal. Good job, and Kristen leading the singing. They didn't tell you what we're about on the call conference. We have got Lauren going on a mission trip, and we're proud of our young people that'll step up and go forward on this, their first one, and we're going to see if we can't raise a little money out of this church to help her. I'm not going to send her out here broke.
Amen.
I mean, if they'll go on a mission trip, we'll help sponsor it, right? And so that's going to be the call conference Wednesday night, and we're going to decide on an amount and talk with her and see what she needs. I know they've already raised some funds, but I'd feel real bad. I'd be disappointed in myself and this church if we sent a young lady out on a mission trip and we didn't help sponsor it.
Amen.
I would. Wouldn't y'all feel kind of bad about that? Oh, yeah, we're all for you. Go on out there, but make your own way. Be careful and hurry back. Amen. So that's going to be a call conference on the Wednesday night. We'll handle that. Any word, anything before we dismiss?